Well, tonight I want to share a word with you. We're just going to begin, well, from John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus said, "I am the way." Not, "I am a way." I am the way. There is no other way to a relationship with God, with the Father. That's the only way. And I want to tell you, we need to know that absolutely for sure. Because in this world where so many things are ambiguous, and people are so unsure about things, we need to know that Jesus is the only way, absolutely. Nobody comes to the Father except through Him. That's the only way. In Acts 4:12, it says, "There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." No other name. Muhammad won't work. Buddha won't work. Krishna won't work. Jesus is the only name that will work. And you know, people say, "Well, you know, you're just excluding people." Oh no, all are invited to come. Whoever will believe, amen? God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All are invited. I'm telling you, you know, there's this mentality today. We all know that it's so prevalent in our culture that there's many ways to God. I want to tell you, there's only one way that doesn't lead to destruction. And it's a narrow way. Well, that's narrow-minded. Jesus said the way is narrow. Broad is the way to destruction. But there's a narrow way that leads to life, He said, and few find it. Now, that's a little phrase that I think a lot of people would like to just leave off. Let's don't say few find it. But that's the truth. You see, in the big scheme of things of history, I'm telling you, there's few that find it. But His is the only way. Aren't you glad you found the way? Yes. Amen. Amen. But we have to come by the blood of Jesus. That is the only way. You know, all the other great religions of the world, when I say great, I don't mean great as in good. I mean great as in well-known and big, all right? All the other great religions of the world, it's all about what you've done. You know, I mean, some of them, you got to blow yourself up so you can go to heaven and have a great reward. Crazy stuff, but it's all about what you do. Ours is the only one that it's about what He did. It's about what He did for us on the cross, that He paid the price for us. And there is no other way that you can have a real relationship with God. You can't be good enough. You can't get to the Father by living a self-righteous life. No, it's only by the blood of Jesus and by His grace. Apart from Him, we're all hopelessly lost. Romans 3:10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Got to come His way. It's the only way. But He's made the way for us. Well, all of our shortcomings and our faults, He made a way so that we could be close to Him. Hebrews 10:19 through 22 says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Now, there's a whole lot here that I'm not going to get into tonight, but I just want you to see this. It says that He has made a new and living way. How did He do it? By His own precious blood. And He talks about the holiest. It's a reference to the Holy of Holies that you read about in the Old Testament, that Holy of Holies in the temple where only the high priest went, and he only went once a year, and he went with fear and trembling because that place was so holy. And now He says that there's a new and living way where we can come boldly. And you need to understand that word boldly in the right context. It's not talking about that you strut in some kind of arrogant manner boldly. No, it means, you know, compared to the Old Testament when they walked in fear and trembling, we come in boldly because we are confident in the blood of Jesus, that it is enough so that we can truly be forgiven and be right with God. But He's made the way for us. I tell you, of all the things that God has ever done to make a way, here's the greatest, that He made a way for us to be able to be close to Him and have a real relationship with Him. But the same God that made a way for us to have a relationship with Him, I want you to know something. He also makes a way for us to overcome. He makes a way for us to win our battles. He makes a way, not just for us to survive, but for us to come out on the other side of our battles in victory. There's a passage that I don't know why, but it just seems the Lord has spoken to me many times over the years, like He's spoken to me prophetically through this passage. But I want you to, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Isaiah 43, and we're going to look at 16 through 19. It says, "Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick." Now, in this passage, he's talking about when the children of Israel left Egypt. You know, God had finally gotten them out of Egypt. And so, you know, they've left Egypt, but they're kind of running for their lives, trying to get away from Egypt and from the Egyptian army. And they are cornered at the Red Sea. And that's what he's talking about here. But think about this. You know, the children of Israel at this time, they had been slaves for 400 years. And they are not in any way an army. They've never been fighting men in Egypt. They're not an army. They're just a bunch of scared people. And the greatest army in the known world at that time, the Egyptian army, is pursuing them. What are they going to do? There's no way out. They are cornered. But God makes a way. Moses holds his rod out over the sea, and a strong east wind blows, and the water is parted, and it stands up like a wall on each side as they walk through on dry ground. Crazy, right? God made a way. Now, then they get through on the other side. Moses holds his staff out again, and the water comes in and crashes in on the Egyptian army and kills them all. Then you got the wild, liberal, nutty, crazy, unbelieving theologians today who say, "Oh, it was only a marsh. It was 6 inches deep." Okay. Then God killed the greatest army in the world at that time in 6 inches of water. I mean, the stuff these people come up with, it just doesn't even... But did you know people use the same kind of reasoning and stuff today when miracles happen? They figure out a way it wasn't really a miracle. You know, it would have happened anyway. It's a coincidence. Good grief. But I tell you, you see, God always makes a way. Have you ever felt like you were cornered? You ever had nowhere to go? Ever felt like you were under attack? He makes a way. We just have to trust Him. And that's the key. You see, when we realize that our God is faithful and how good He is, He will make a way for us. We'll go on in that passage. He says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road, the NIV says, a way in the wilderness and rivers in the deserts. He says, forget about the past. Don't focus on the past. He says, I'm going to do a new thing. We need to always remember this, that when God makes a way, it's seldom the same old way. You see, a lot of times people try to put God in a box. And I'm telling you, religious people, even well-meaning Christians, they try to put God in a box. They say, well, you know, the Lord did it like that, so that's the way the Lord does it. I want to tell you, God is very creative, innovative, and He likes to do things a new way. You know, we get stuck in a rut and we want God to do everything the same way every time. But oh, he has so many different ways of doing things. And I want to tell you, His ways are higher than ours. We need to be expecting God. He says, I'm going to do a new thing. Don't consider the things of old. I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. See, that's not the way we would choose it. Has God ever done something in your life different than the way that you thought it should have been done? Or different than the way, maybe when you look back, you say, oh yeah, that was good. That's the right way. But He did it a different way than the way you thought He should when you were praying about it or when you were facing that battle. I want to tell you, for me, it happens that way an awful lot. But sometimes we miss what God wants to do because one of two things. Either we think that He should do it the way we think, you know, God, this is what needs to happen here, or we think that He's going to do it the way He's done it for so-and-so. We need to realize that He's God, and if we'll just trust Him, He'll make a way, but it probably won't be what we were thinking. But you can't look at the past if you want to be ready for what God wants to do next. We need to know this. Whatever we face, He'll make a way. I mean, when you feel like there's no way out, He'll make a way if you trust Him. You know, when you're sick, sometimes the doctors can't even figure what's wrong with you, much less fix it. But God can always make a way. Sometimes, you know, you might receive an immediate healing when somebody's praying for you. And sometimes you might have to have a surgery and God will use the doctor. Or you might have to take some medicine. Or I don't know if you've ever had this, but I went to the doctor one time, went to a couple of doctors, like, they couldn't help me at all. They didn't even know what was wrong. And I don't really know when I got healed. I just know that over time, the symptoms and the problems went away. It doesn't matter how God does it. You just need to know this, that He will make a way. When you don't have any idea how to make ends meet, God can make a way. Now, we just have to learn to trust Him. He made a way for the man at the pool of Bethesda. I love this story in John chapter 5. This man, I'm just going to read it, verse 2 through 9. It says, now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well, whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? Now let me just pause right here and just explain. There's this legend that an angel would stir the waters there and whoever got in first was going to be healed. Now just think about this. You see, others might have been healed that way, but it wasn't going to happen for this man. And you need to realize sometimes God's not going to move in your life the way he did somebody else's, but that doesn't mean he's not going to move in your life. We need to be ready for however God wants to do it. The Lord made another way for this man. The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. He didn't even have to get wet. He just got 38 years he was sick. And Jesus healed him instantly. I tell you, God can always make a way. I mean, when you got bills coming in and you can't figure out how you're going to pay it, let me tell you something. If you trust God, God can make a way for you. He will provide. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning from verse 1, it says, "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves.' So Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?' And she said, 'Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil.' He said, 'Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Don't gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shut the door behind you, and you and your sons pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones.' So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. And now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said to her, 'There is not another vessel.' So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons may live on the rest.'" How weird was this? What an unusual way God made a way. I mean, you know, God could have just caused money to rain down from heaven. He could have caused somebody to just come give her money. But instead, he causes this oil to just continue to flow and to flow until they had way more than enough to pay their debts. They had money to live on. Amazing. I'm just telling you, God makes a way. He is creative and innovative. But listen, he's the one who not only knows everything, listen, he spoke everything into being. He holds it all in the palm of his hand. It's not hard for God. See, we need to get our faith up and really trust him. Whatever's going on in our life, we just got to trust him to make a way. You know, I got to tell you, I've had some times where financially, I shouldn't have been making it. You know, you hear people say things like, "Well, I just don't know where the money went." I had the opposite experience, and I'm not bragging on me anyway. I'm bragging on God. I had the opposite experience where I was like, "How do we still have money? I don't understand." You know, I mean, times when I was unemployed, in between positions and all that kind of stuff, and you know, you do what you know to do, but I knew that we shouldn't have been doing as good as we were doing. I tell you, God just makes a way. And Carmen and I left Grace back in 92 after we were youth pastors for 10 years. We went to pastor a church in Mount Pleasant for just a real short time. And we looked for a house there to rent, and we just couldn't find anything. And my grandmother, she lived about 50 miles from there, and so, or 50 minutes. And so we decided that we would just stay with her. And, you know, in some ways, it might have been really hard, or seemed like it would be a really hard thing for a young family. You know, we had two small children. And in fact, I remember Leslie's Sunday school teacher, she told us, Leslie was 5 or 6, and she told us that she was talking to Leslie, and Leslie said, "We don't have our stuff." Because, you know, we're just staying there. We just got clothes to wear and that kind of thing, staying with grandmother. We still had a house in Burleson, and all of our stuff was still in Burleson. But we stayed with her for about 10 weeks. And that season became such a precious time to us and to her. I wouldn't have traded that to live in a mansion, you see. But that wasn't my plan. It was his plan. And that 10 weeks, it's, you know, it's been over 30 years now, and that 10 weeks is still a precious memory to us. And I just want you to understand, you see, God makes a way, and some of these things we won't understand why his way was better. Perfect in all your ways. We sing it tonight. We won't understand why his ways are better until we get to heaven. But a lot of times you can look back over a few years and you can say, Lord, your way is always best. You know, when you lose a job, I just want you to know God can make a way. Wallace Johnson, you might not have ever heard of him, but he built a lot of Holiday Inn motels and nursing homes. And he said when he was 40 years old, and this was during the Great Depression, he worked at a sawmill, and one morning his boss came in and told him that he was fired. And so he goes home all depressed and everything. He's telling his wife, and she's like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And he told her, he said, well, we're going to mortgage our home, and I'm going to go into the building business. And so in a short time, he built two small buildings, and he sold those two buildings, and then his business just kind of took off, building hotels and nursing homes. And within a short time, he became a millionaire. I actually know a guy, true story. I know a guy who worked as a salesman at a meat packing or processing plant, and his boss decided he could do without him, so he fired him. And so the guy went to an IRS auction where they were auctioning off the equipment for a meat processing plant, and he bought it all for pennies on the dollar, started his own business, and became a millionaire. Now listen to me. Don't go try to get fired so you can become a millionaire. See, that's what people do. They say, oh, well, that's the way God did it. No, 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 no. You got to let God lead you. You got to let God make his way in your life. But I'm just telling you, you see, God will take care of you. He'll make a way for you if you trust him. Yeah, I know a bunch of you are thinking, I want to go the millionaire way. But that's not the way all of us are supposed to go. That's not the point. The point is that God will make a way. You know, Joseph in the Bible, his brothers sold him into slavery. And later, when God had raised Joseph up as a great leader in Egypt and used him to keep people, to save people through a great famine, he told his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And here's what I want to say to you about that in the context of this message tonight, is that evil people can't stop God from making a way for you. In fact, oftentimes, he takes the things that they meant for harm and he turns it for good. He will work it out for your good if you'll trust him. But just know that God will always make a way. He's bigger than whoever or whatever comes against you. In Matthew 14, there's this great multitude of people that have been following Jesus, and the disciples come to him, and they say, send them away to the villages to get food. And Jesus says, no, you feed them. And they're like, all we got is this five loaves and two fish. And there's 5,000 men plus women and children. So we don't know exactly how many were there, but it could have been 10, 15, even 20,000 people. Five loaves of bread and two fish. No way. He makes a way. In fact, the scripture says very plainly in Matthew 14 and 20, so they all ate and were filled. It's not hard for the Lord to make a way in your life. You know, we all have big things that happen and desperate times, and I just want to encourage you, he'll make a way. And I hope that not many of you are there tonight, but you see, you need to be ready. When those kind of challenges and difficulties come, God will make a way. You need to have that down in your heart. When it looks too hard, that you just trust him and know that he'll make a way. Job said in Job 42 and 2, he says, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. See, nobody can stop God. Nobody. Nobody. In fact, there's only one person that can keep God from doing great things in your life. That's you. I don't know about you, but I'm often like, Lord, that's the problem here. But how gracious and merciful is he? He knows us. He knows how we are. I believe the Lord has just made a way for this church. I know there were critics at times that said, oh, they'll never build a building. The crazy stuff that goes on. Do you know that one time somebody wrote me a letter, they didn't sign it. Somebody wrote me a letter, they said, we're going to expose you on Fox News and blah, 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 because you're taking up money for a building that you have no intention of building. Well, let me tell you something. This is all God. We paid this building off in 5.5 years. That's all God. I'm just saying, he makes a way. There might have been some hard times, some lean times, some difficult times, but he makes a way. Whatever it is. When Dallas Theological Seminary was founded, they hadn't been going very long and they ran out of money. They didn't have money to pay the bills and they almost had to close. They had creditors that were going to foreclose at noon one day. So the president met with the faculty and they had a prayer meeting, and they had Dr. Harry Ironside was there. And he prayed, Lord, we know that the cattle on 1,000 hills are thine. Please sell some of them and send us the money. Now listen, this is supposed to be a true story. A man came into the seminary business office while they're praying. He says, I just sold 2 carloads of cattle in Fort Worth. I feel compelled to give the money to the seminary. I don't know if you need it or not, but here's the check. So the secretary takes the check, knocks on the door where the prayer meeting is, and the president takes the check from her, and he turns around and he says, Harry, God sold the cattle. I'm just telling you, God can make a way. See, I know some of you are like, no way, no way. Yes, God can make a way, just like that. You know, when you start reading the Bible, you just see over and over and over how when it was impossible, God made a way. We all go through difficult times. You just need to be ready. Times when you're going to be tempted and tested and tried. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. You see, sometimes we think we're the only one that's been through what we're going through. No, there's been others before you. And God was faithful to them. And he'll be faithful to you. It says, but God is faithful. And this is so much a key to this message tonight. Because you have to trust him. He's faithful. That means he's trustworthy. He doesn't let people down. He's God. He says, who will not allow you to be tempted. Now the word tempted here, it doesn't just mean like tempted to do something bad. It's talking about also about being tested or tried. He says, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now listen, you see, God will make a way. Whatever it is you're going through, he'll make a way for you to come out in victory. And we just need to know this, that God always, he's faithful. So that you can bear it. You ever thought, Lord, this is beyond what I can bear? Anybody? There's three of us. 7, 8. More of you than that. But here you are. You're still here. Now, some of you are thinking, I'm there right now. Well, we can testify. We're still here. We've been there, and we're still here. And I'm just telling you, God is faithful. He will make a way. One little boy is trying to save money so that he could buy a baseball bat. And he was having a real struggle. So one night he was saying his prayers and his mother overheard him saying, oh, Lord, please help me save money for a baseball bat. And God, don't let the ice cream truck come down this street. You ever feel like that? He makes a way. He makes a way so we can handle it. God is faithful. Don't let the enemy convince you. Don't let him deceive you into thinking that God has let you down. He's trustworthy. And he knows exactly what we can handle, where we are, what we're going through, and how strong or how weak we are. Psalm 103:14, it says, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. See, he knows our weakness. He knows our limits. And he takes care of us. He's merciful to us. And he'll make a way. But I want to tell you something. You got to be willing to go God's way. He'll make a way. But if you insist on doing it your way, it's one of the saddest, dumbest songs ever. I did it my way. And what a sad end to that life. But when you do it God's way, our way won't work, but his will. Isaiah 55:8-9, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, I'll get it right, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. His ways are not our ways. You see, we can't just reason with our natural mind and figure it all out. We got to trust him. As I was preparing the message, I was thinking about this, and I just feel like this is for somebody. You know, when the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, the Lord told Moses, he said, tell the people to go forward. Sometimes people are stuck in their past. They need to move forward. And sometimes it is as simple as just being willing to obey God. I'm going to give you an example. This is for somebody or somebody's. Somebody hurt you. Somebody wronged you. The only way you're going to be able to go forward is to forgive. That's his way. And we might say, oh no, that's not right, that's not just, they got to pay. You leave that to God. But for you to move forward from where you are, he'll make a way, you see. He'll make a way. But he says things like, forgive. Sometimes to move forward, you got to be willing to step out of your comfort zone. You're going to have to be willing to do something that maybe is not easy for you. Sometimes to be able to move forward, you got to be willing to humble yourself. That's his way. Just remember, his ways are higher. They're higher. They're better. They're way better. We got to be willing to obey. Like Moses did. Like the widow did. Like the disciples did. Like the children of Israel did when they marched around the walled city of Jericho. God made a way. But they had to be willing to obey. And I want to tell you, you see, God will make a way for us, but we got to trust him enough to do what he says for us to do. All these crazy stories in the Bible, I'm just telling you, there's hundreds of them. There's so many of these. Jehoshaphat, he sends the praise singers out in front of the army into battle. God makes a way. And sometimes it may not make sense to us, but God will always make a way if we trust him. Psalm 18, 30 through 32, as for God, his way is perfect. Wow. I know it may not mean much to y'all, but it blessed me tonight. I had forgotten completely that in that song, Good, Good Father, we sing, perfect in all your ways. And here it is in the scripture, his way is perfect. It may not seem like it in the moment sometime, but God knows what he's doing. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He can make your way perfect, but you got to trust him. What a wonderful promise from the scripture. See, our way may seem difficult and crooked and uphill, even impossible, but with God, all things are possible. He makes my way perfect. He'll bring us through to victory. And as we look back from eternity, we'll be able to see not how everything was great and everything was so easy and everything was just the way we wanted it to be. No, but we'll look back and we'll be able to see what Romans 8:28 says, that God worked all things together for our good. Somehow, all of the battles and the struggles and the difficulties and even the wrongs, that somehow God will have worked it all together for our good. That's how big our God is. Stand with me. We're going to pray.